Manchester, please welcome Arnold Brown.
Tonight, I want to talk about prejudice. A lot of people in Britain are suspicious of the outsider, the stranger. For example, I was in a train the other day, and I heard a man say to his companion, "The Japanese. I hate the Japanese. They come over here, and they give us jobs." We're also uneasy with anyone who doesn't conform to the traditional British way of life. That was the real reason for Clause 28. It's obvious, isn't it? You see a play about homosexuality, and you immediately rush out the theatre and want to try it. On this assumption, you go to an Agatha Christie murder mystery. And at the end, the whole audience assembles in the foyer. And the cry goes up, "Let's strangle a vicar." I remember when I was growing up in Glasgow being Jewish, we had a difficult time in school. Our classmates kept taunting us, "You killed Christ." Over the years, I've thought about this issue. Now, I don't mean any disrespect, but wouldn't it have been better for all concerned if we'd just roughed him up a little? Of course, most of us will never openly admit to harbouring any prejudice against foreigners. I would like to put this to the test by going to, say, one of the home counties with a van and a megaphone. "Hello, this is the authorities. As from today, Cheltenham has been twinned with Hong Kong. Please advise us of your kitchen facilities and any spare bedrooms." I was thinking about prejudice the other day when Chris, my butler, came to my room. He was bringing out my breakfast. I suppose it was his own fault for eating it.
"I brought you this morning's papers, Arnold."
"Ah, good. Now, let me see. The Sun, the Star, the Express. Chris, I think there must be something wrong here."
"What's that?"
"Where's my copy of the Beano?"
"Oh, dear, they've delivered the wrong papers to the house again. You'll have to make do with these for the moment."
"Oh, well, let's have a look at the headlines.
Stinking Argies win cup-tied shocker.
Frogs get more euro dollars, exclusive.
Filthy Arabs buy department store shock.
At least Biffo the Bear would have been much more realistic. As he once said, it takes all types to make a world. Now, where's the honey?" Mind you, nationalism is surging right through the world these days. I'm just scared it gets too popular in Scotland. If the nationalists get in, it could mean that people like Moira Anderson get her own TV channel. For those of you who haven't heard of Moira Anderson, well, she's like a long-range nuclear missile. Goes all over the world despite public demand.
"I must confess, I rather liked You Take the High Road. It had true Gaelic charm."
"That's your trouble, Chris. You believe that a Scottish stereotype is realistic. It's not really like that in Scotland. It's not all kilts and accordions, you know."
"Fair enough, Arnold. Now hurry up and eat your porridge."
"Thank goodness I've got Uncle Harry around to keep things in a less bigoted perspective."
"Morning, Arnold. I'm helping Emma, your charming fan club chairperson, to finish off the latest batch of Arnold Brown merchandise."
"There you are, Harry. Have you finished yet?"
"What's he making?"
"Fashion accessories, as advertised in the press."
"The Arnold Brown Hogmanay kilt.
You just pull the cord and..."
"Yes, yes, thank you." "This is ridiculous. The Arnold Brown Hogmanay kilt. You're forgetting. I'm also Jewish."
"Aye, they say we're directly descended from Moses."
"Are you quite sure? I can't remember seeing photographs of him around our house."
"No, never mind that. Back in the cupboard, Uncle Harry, and start making the Arnold Brown all-weather prayer shawl."
"This is worrying. Everyone's at it. You're all trying to degrade my identity. I blame the tabloid newspapers. The standards are so low. They're degrading everyone's identity.
Yes, they work on the theory that if you put an infinite number of monkeys at an infinite number of typewriters, then one will eventually produce aspects of love.
You'd think the tabloids would find it difficult getting hold of an infinite number of monkeys, but it's done well, haven't they? You know, I think it's my duty as a liberal-minded public citizen to go out and convince the public to change their thinking.
I always say the way to spread a message is a sandwich board and a megaphone.
Are we talking Ben Elton? I think so. I know what I'll do. I'll make a live broadcast to the nation. Now, if anyone wants me, tell them I'm out crusading for social justice.
Arnold, before you go, the chimpanzee who's working on your new material wants to know if he can have a tea break.
Tell him, okay, just as long as he's not going to use the time to moonlight on his EastEnders script. I soon found myself in the presence of little Jimmy Grade, head of programming at the Multimedia Radio Corporation.
Arnold, good to see you. It's been a while since we did weekending together at the good old BBC.
Not that long.
Remember that brilliant satire you did, Ramsay MacDonald at the dentist?
It was a decaying society.
Yes, they put up a plaque. Anyway, love the idea of you doing a live broadcast, but why stick with just national? Why not make it international? Why don't we have you broadcasting to the whole world?
A sort of brown aid. I like that.
You see, I really love the idea of different races being able to get it together. I mean, I've set up a multiracial working party, 4 actors. Come on, I'll show you.
Right, class, after me. The burn is in the sherry truffle.
The burn is in the sherry truffle.
We're not really trying, are we, Jean-Michel?
Oh, merde.
This isn't France. Jean-Michel, this isn't François Truffaut, you know. If you want a career in British situation comedy, you're going to have to learn to speak like a complete prat.
Ebony and ivory sit together.
Trevor, can't you tunelessly sing something less infuriating? After all, we are personal holistic counsellors.
La 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 bamba, ya ba ba bamba la ba la ba.
If you sing that once more, I'll throw out your entire Genesis collection. I don't know why I stay with you when there must be hundreds of men out there who I could talk down to. Who've we got in next?
Someone crusading for social justice.
Not Sting again. Remember that video Nessie made us sit through?
I think it's a very beautiful thing. The birth of a baby.
I thought it was cruel making his wife join in the chorus of Roxanne when they were cutting the umbilical cord.
No, not Sting. It's Arnold Brown.
Oh, okay. Show him in there.
Yes, Davina. I'll do the fetching and carrying.
Oh, Trevor. I do like it when you talk subservient. Come in, Mr. Brown. Welcome to the Inner Body Shop. I'm Davina.
And?
This is Trevor, my underling.
Hi.
I won't shake hands. I've heard obnoxiousness is contagious.
So, Arnold, I believe you want to radically alter people's outlook on life forever.
Yes, but not in a shy way.
Have you had much experience in speaking in public, Arnold?
You've obviously not heard me hail a cab.
Can you look sincere on camera?
Are we talking Bob Monkhouse? I doubt it.
You've also got to remember that because your broadcast is going out all over the world, not everyone will be able to understand what you're saying.
So what's new?
It's likely to be a very long speech you'll be giving, Arnold. I'm a little worried that your voice may suddenly leave you.
I don't care. We've never been that close.
Yes, but how do you intend addressing the entire population of the world?
In a tactful, modest way. My people. Please be seated. Or kneel, if you prefer.
No.
was on my way home that I realized the size of my task. At the bus stop, I got into conversation with a man. He was a bit different from me, but I was determined not to prejudge him. After all, someone who wears combat boots, a camouflage jacket, and a 44 Magnum revolver may well be a shy, sensitive human being. If you just make the effort to get to know him. And then again, he may not. I was even tolerant of the tattoo on his forehead which said, West Ham rules forever. And death to anyone who disagrees. Nothing personal. I was so grateful for that rare glimpse into his philosophy of life.
Racial discrimination? Don't talk to me about racial discrimination. I mean, it works both ways, doesn't it? I mean, they're taking over everywhere. Do you know, there are parts of this city that an ordinary working man who's lived here all his life can't get into.
Yes, there's the judiciary, the foreign office, the diplomatic corps.
Well, that's easy for you to say, isn't it? You're Jewish, aren't you? One of the chosen people. But tell me this. What would happen if we were all Jewish, eh? What would happen if we were all called Rachel?
Well, then we'd have a multi-racial society. He took the cut and thrust of my argument quite well. I argued my case and he argued his. That's what a civilized society is all about. And that's why I didn't feel so bad when he mugged me. I felt I'd made the point.
I've had one of our sketch artists do an impression from the description you gave us. What do you think?
Well, the head's a bit out of proportion to the rest of him. Not really enough movement in the body either. And what's this supposed to be?
That's his nose.
It's not in perspective.
Well, Sir did say aquiline.
But I didn't say fish. It looks like a sperm whale.
It is a sperm whale.
And why is one of his ears melting?
Well, it is just an artist's impression, sir.
It's not realistic.
Oh, I think you'll find that the CRD around here don't really favour social realism. No, we're definitely cubists on this nip. Now you come to mention it.
So you see what I mean?
Yeah, it needs at least two more noses. I'll pop it back to you after I've been to the interview room next door. Okay. How's it going, Sarge?
Yeah, got a right one here. What's your name, son?
Winston Brady, sir.
Well, Winston, we've got some questions for you.
What's that rubber hose for?
We're asking the questions, Winston.
Oh! Ow!
That is what the rubber hose is for, sonny. Now, how about answering some questions, eh, me lad?
Yeah, anything. Please don't hit me anymore.
Good cooperation. That's what I like. Now, tell me in your own words and in your own time, why exactly do you want to join the police force?
And now the main points of the news again. Comedian Arnold Brown was mugged today in the town centre. His assailant is said to be tall, in his mid-twenties, and not black. Mr. Brown, who is also not black, but who is Scottish and Jewish, is now at home where he's talking to his Uncle Harry, who is of the same ethnic origin.
How does he know that?
I rang him and told them.
The police have issued an identikit picture drawn by Sergeant Dawson, very much not black, of the Serious Crime Squad. The picture is said to be basically impressionists with some nuances of the early Dadaists. That's the end of the news.
You see what I mean? There's far too much racism in the world. These are supposed to be the caring 90s, and yet there are still times when those three little words don't seem to count.
Ah, yes.
I'm not guilty.
Gentlemen, we are here to consider the appeal of 19 people who have spent the last 27 years in prison. I needn't go over the facts of the case. Needless to say, the accused are very seriously Irish. And the crime they committed is quite clearly defined in the statute books. I refer, of course, to the Being Irish in the Wrong Place at the Wrong Time Act of 1970.
My lord, I feel that we should consider the defense evidence freshly.
Very well, if you are determined to be tedious, state your case.
Well, it relies on circumstantial evidence, viz. The circumstance that they didn't actually commit the crime of which they are accused.
Should we really be spending time on these technicalities? Why did they confess?
They alleged that they were beaten, deprived of food and sleep, and made to listen to horrible, disorientating sounds.
Well, guns and roses aren't to everybody's taste. But the police evidence is quite clear. The accused were placed in very comfy apartments after courteous and impeccable treatment. The officers state that while they nipped out for a packet of fags and a bottle of Guinness for everyone, the treacherous blackguards proceeded to beat themselves up. In a blatant attempt to discredit the police.
My lord, the accused also confessed to the Jack the Ripper murders, starting the First World War, and to complicity in King Herod's slaying of the firstborn.
Crimes which were taken into account in the sentence. I find the defendants guilty as charged, and additionally guilty of trying to give British justice a bad name. 10 more years in the sentences.
Very succinctly put, my lord.
I just wish we still had capital punishment. Then we wouldn't have all these frivolous appeals. Besides, I think that black cap rather suited me.
If you're an outsider, it can be very hard. A lot of British people dislike the Japanese. The very same people who drive you mad on public transport with their attached personal stereos.
Oh, that's very well for you to say, Arnold. But some of us experienced the Japanese firsthand. I still have nightmares about the humiliation I suffered.
Did you work on the Burma Railway, Uncle Larry?
No, the Sunderland isn't one.
The Arnold Brown Fact File.
Fact, Arnold Brown respects other people's cultures.
Yes, but not as much as Uncle Harry. A few years ago, he went to India to find out the kind of person he really was. And when they told him, he didn't want to know.
Rumour. Arnold thinks the police do a good job nowadays.
Perhaps. You've got to admit, they've got their caring, sensitive side. Every year, 2,000 of them take the trouble to accompany the hippie travellers to Stonehenge. Yes, you've got to hand it to the police. They never forget a solstice.
Speculation. Does Arnold Brown have anything to say on the satanic verses?
Yes. I wonder if there'd be similar concern for the safety of the author if the book had been written by Jeffrey Archer. I doubt it.
Not the same, is it, Fritz?
It certainly isn't, Fritz.
Chipboard is no substitute for a good suspect's lower molars.
Yes. You're right. And it's bloody hard to get a written confession from a length of plywood.
But it should come to this, leaving our beloved Joburg and having to live in the house of this radical, subversive Arnold Brown.
He even reads that free-thinking liberal journal.
The Daily Mail.
Here they even let blacks read out the news on TV.
Disgraceful. They should only be allowed to read the bad news.
Which is why we never had black news readers back in dear old Joburg.
Because there was no bad news.
But I never said that.
Neither did I.
In fact, back in Joburg, they even had their own radio station. What was it called?
Radio Silence.
And now this comedian, Arnold Brown.
Not even his name is offensive.
He's going to do a broadcast to the whole world about racism.
He doesn't know what racism is.
He doesn't. Not like us. We know what true racism is.
It's because we're very good at it.
But I never said that.
And neither did I.
No, nor me.
What are you doing with all those bits of paper, Arnold?
I'm preparing my broadcast to the world. If I'm going to be the envoy of racial harmony, I think I should use the writings of world-famous thinkers.
The works of Gandhi, the poems of Omar Khayyam, the best of Dennis the Menace.
Well, you do need some light belief.
And what's this one?
That's John Paul Sartre.
Existentialism, the search continues. But for what?
It's the sequel to Nihilism. Why bother?
Father, you named me Alex Haley, but we all know my real name is Kinte. We are descended from a man who over 500 years ago was kidnapped by slave traders and sent to a country far away. That is why I wrote Roots, the story of our family our people, and our struggle.
Listen, son, how would you feel if I were to tell you you were adopted?
It's all very well you going on about racism, Arnold, but what about respect for the elderly? What about ageism?
Oh, shut up, you're saying I'll all get.
No, I think Uncle Harry's got a point there. The old people of this world have a wealth of experience, and yet they're given very little credit for it. I'm talking Gary Glitter.
Has anyone seen my artificial hat? I'm sure I left it beating on the breakfast table.
Yes, I'm using it as a pump in the goldfish tank.
Yeah.
I'd like to buy some brown corduroys.
Oh, corduroys. Are there to them? Darren, do we do corduroys?
Corduroys? Social worker, pity. Everyone wears 501s these days. Here, tie these on. There's a cubicle over there. Here, the security tag.
What's the point? I'm not going to get lost in this cubicle. Aren't these much too tight?
No, they look lovely. And you've gone a strange shade of blue as well.
They really match.
But can Harry breathe?
It's all a fashion.
You mean asphyxiation is in this year? Look, could you give me a talc?
Sharon, quick, run to the outside department and ask some of the really big customers to help.
Right.
Looks like we're here for the evening. Okay, everybody, all together.
One, two, three.
Now.
One thing you can say for 501s, you do get to meet people.
The aged of today don't know they're born.
Go on, get out of here, you wrinkly, and don't you come back until you're younger.
That was a public information broadcast. We'd like to apologise for the unfashionable clothing, but it was made several years ago when Afro haircuts were in.
Hi, welcome back to Give the Kids a Break, Will Ya? The only youth programme which is definitely not patronising to you. Us, kids. Later in the programme, we're taking a well serious look at exploitation, sexism and cycling shorts. But first... My first guest, Foreign Affairs expert Robert Davies, MP.
Hello.
Bobby, mate. Uh-huh. You've rapped with the world leaders, done your bit for society, so the obvious question would be, what's it like to be really ancient with double chins?
Sorry, what?
Oh, you're deaf as well, eh?
Now, look here. I didn't come here to insult you.
I'm sorry, Bob. We're going to have to wind it up there. You're starting to ramble a bit. Right. Now, last week, we sent Ricardo over to South America where there's a lot of oppression going down, right? Here's his first report.
I'm in a secret mountain hideout. And in a few seconds' time, I'm going to be the first Western journalist to talk to revolutionary freedom fighter El Guido, who for the last 6 years have been leading the peasants against the right-wing junta government. El Guido, what do you think of the new Happy Monday single?
Well, that's about all I could concentrate on for that report. Now, to the cinema. This week sees the opening of In the Heat of the Alabama Burning, Alan Visconti's drama of bigotry and racial prejudice in a sleepy southern American town. Here's a clip.
You don't belong here, boy. Your kind ain't welcome in Sleepy Horn, boy. Now you best get back on the bus and get out of here. Do you hear what I'm saying, boy?
Well, if that's how you feel, Dad...
And now an important speech from Nelson Mandela. Oh, no, sorry. We have to go over to the Antiques Floor Show with Hugh Scully.
Well, what's a Greek urn, I hear you say? And of course the answer would be...
We interrupt that old joke to bring you a newsflash. Comedian Arnold Brown has entered Multimedia House and is about to make a statement that will cure the world completely of all racial problems.
Well, it's quite an incredible atmosphere down here. I understand that we will be broadcasting simultaneously with every major network in the world, with the exception of Radio Tyneside. No one quite knows why. Already thousands of people of all creeds and colours have come out into the streets to hear what Arnold has to say. The big question on the crowd's lips appears to be, after this statement, which will bring racial harmony to the world, will Mike Gatting ever play cricket anywhere again?
Mike, what do you say to people who accuse you of supporting an authoritarian and oppressive regime?
Well, I don't think the selectors are that bad.
Yes, coming onto the balcony now, Scribe Arnold Brown himself, flanked by his Uncle Harry, resplendent in his I'm too old to run the world t-shirt, and his fan club chairperson Emma, who appears to be wearing some sort of prayer shawl. And Arnold approaches the microphone stand. This is the moment. The whole world is listening. This is where he will say something that will change the political map of the world forever.
Be nice to each other, and have a nice day.
Well, there you have it. Racism, a thing of the past. And now it's back to Hugh at the antique floor show.
What's a Greek urn? About 20 drachma a week. I'm sorry, I just don't feel right about that joke anymore. I don't think it's fair to Greeks. After all, they gave us culture and democracy, and we still got the Elgin marbles.
It's no good. I'm sorry.
And here's your host, Jimmy Tarbrick.
There was this Pakistani, see, and he was a very intelligent, hard-working man, actually. And why shouldn't he be?
And now, what the papers say.
The RGs are nice. Shocker, the Sun.
The French appear to have a point, the Times.
We were jolly well right, all a ling, the Guardian.
And that's how I did it. Now, don't you think the world is a better place, Uncle Harry?
Aye, and I don't think we'll be marketing those kilts now, Arnold.
Or the prayer shawls. Ever since your speech, I've realised that we must all be nice to one another and have a nice day.
But now I think the time has come for us to all go misty.
And wibbly wobbly.
Where am I?
Morning, Arnold. I've brought you the morning papers.
Now, let me see. The Sun, the Express. I get the feeling I've been here before. Chris, why are you looking at me like that? Have I got a funny colour?
No, sir. And besides, I'm not prejudiced.
Oh, dear. Look at these.
Stinking Argies win cup tie shocker.
Left-wing council give job to black man scandal.
The headlines are all the same.
Yes.
It was all a dream. Still, there is one good thing about reality. At least, I've got my copy of the Beano. Biffo the Bear, freed by Animal Liberation Front. And why not?
You have been listening to Arnold Brown and Company, performed by Arnold Brown, Christopher Campbell, David Charles, and Emma Garner-Clark. It was written by Arnold Brown, Peter Terry, Marvin Close, Paul Cornell, and Julie Rutherford, with Simon Michelson, Mark Soda, Joan Ormrod, Barry Nichols, and Jules Duggleby, Alistair Newton, John Kelly, Tony Bagley, Simon Brook, Ralph Whaley, and Martin O'Callaghan. The producer was Paul Z. Jackson.